Good morning.
Morning.
It's good to see everybody. I missed you. We were on vacation. Had a good time. Did not even get sunburnt. I had a little bit on one foot, but that was okay. It was good to be back. We're going to continue in our series, Relationships, and we've talked about being a mom, being single, being married, being a parent. And this morning, I want to talk about a relationship that is fairly new to me, but I think that's important. It's something we don't often talk about in church. We kind of have a preconceived idea about what it should be, and it's just going to be kind of difficult to me because I'm going to talk about being a grandparent, and my daughter and her husband and one of my granddaughters is here this morning. So if you want to know if I'm trying to do anything that I talk about this morning, you can ask them after church. I'm really probably preaching as much to me as I am to you, and I am fully aware that some of you are not grandparents, but what I hope this morning is that if you're not a grandparent, maybe this gives you some idea about what you want the folks in your lives that are grandparents to do, maybe some help with those relationships, and maybe it gives you an idea of what you want to be when you become a grandparent. So I want to start this morning by what I think is the culture's idea of grandparents, and it is professed by the names that we give grandparents. And so I found a list, and these are real names for grandparents. And I think it kind of gives you an idea of what the culture says about what the role of a grandparent should be. And I want to start with some names I found for grandmothers. Maybe this you'll hear your name if you're a grandparent, what your grandchildren call you, or maybe you'll think of something you want to be called when you become a grandparent. But here we go, grandmothers. Gigi, Gaga, Grana. I am in love with a Grana. Go-Go, Gammy, Gamu, Maw-Maw, Meemaw, Mimi, Moo Moo, Big Mama. I doubt that she picked that name for herself. Nana, Nunu, Nono, Dee Dee, Doo Dee, and my favorite, which is Doo Da Day. I just thought, man, that would be a great thing to call your grandmother, Doo Da Day. That just sings what? We're going to have a great time at grandma's house, doesn't it? And so let's go to granddads. Here are some that I found for granddads, and they are as unique as the name for grandmothers. Bumpa, Bubba, Bubble, Big Daddy. It has to go with Big Mama. They have to be a team. Gramps, Granddaddy, Granky, Granky. I think that's a combination of Cranky and Granddad. Flat out grumpy. I think that's what Big Mama named her partner. Pop, Poppy, Pappy, Popo, Poo Poo, Papa, Peepaw, and Baby Louie. And I am Pawpaw. And I'm going to just step aside here. Guys, listen to what I'm fixing to tell you. If you're married, as soon as your wife had a child, she began to think about what she wanted to be called when she became a grandmother, or starting to think about it. And you should begin to think about it, because the way I became Pawpaw was we found out we were going to be grandparents. It was after a football game on a Friday night. We had driven about 4 hours to watch Billy team play. We'd been to Waffle House after the football game, so my belly was full, eating all-star breakfast. It's late. Billy and his wife tell us they're going to have a baby. We got to stay there and talk about that for another hour. I don't know exactly why, because the baby's not going to be born for 9 more months. We don't know anything about it. And then Carol, I got back to the room, and I'm in the bed exhausted, and she goes, well, what are they going to call you? And I'm like, I don't know. So I thought, well, maybe I'll ask her what they're going to call her, and this will end this, and we can all go to sleep. And she said, well, they're going to call me Grandma. You haven't been thinking about this? Oh, and that's if you're a husband. You know when your wife asks you if you haven't been thinking about this, that you probably should have been thinking about it because she's been thinking about it a long time. And I really just wanted to go to sleep. So I said, yeah, Pawpaw. And she said, well, what made you choose that? And I said, can't we just go to sleep? But the names, see, the name, those names kind of imply what? Spoil them, love them. And the Bible has much more in line for a grandparent than just somebody that has a unique name, somebody that has sleepovers, somebody that takes you to eat ice cream, somebody that just spoils you. The Bible has an idea that grandparents have a distinct role in the lives of their grandchildren. Proverbs 17:6 says, grandchildren are the crown of the aged. I know they are a blessing, and I would say amen to every part of that but the aged, because I do not profess to be aged, even though I am a grandfather. But I want to look this morning at something that's a little deeper than the stereotypical picture of a grandparent that we get in Scripture. I want to give us some things to focus on as grandparents to help us be godly grandparents. And I want to start by saying that we need to focus more on mentoring rather than just retiring. We just came back from being near the biggest retirement community that I really ever heard of. It's the Villages in Florida. It was some, I don't know, crazy number of houses, 51,000 houses in this community like 7 or 8 years ago, so there's no telling how big it is now and how many people it is. But the sum total of that place is golf, swim, any kind of group activity, entertainment. In other words, it's all about you're retired, you do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it. And as we drove through some of that, and I looked around and I saw all these folks devoting their entire time to doing what they wanted to do. And look, there's nothing wrong with retiring and having some extra free time. But I don't think God intends for our lives, as we become retired, as we become grandparents, for us to withdraw from the communities or the relationships that we live in and our lives be all about us. Our lives are still about the kingdom of God. They are still about giving to the kingdom. And what's great about being retired is you now have more time to give to the kingdom. I like what Psalm 92 says. It says that the righteous will still bear fruit in old age. Getting older is not about stepping back from activity. It is a way to move forward, to pour into your grandchildren and into others. There's a passage in Titus chapter 2 where Paul is talking, and it begins in verse 2, and he says this, teach the older men to be temperate, worthy of respect, self-controlled, and sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach the older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to much wine, but to teach what is good. Then they can urge the younger women to love their husbands and children and to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at the home, to be kind, and to be subject to their husbands so that no one will malign the word of God. Encourage the young men to be self-controlled. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Titus paints a picture here of mentoring, of older women speaking to younger women, of older men speaking to younger men, and to encourage them to walk with the Lord. As we get older, we have an opportunity to serve in new and different ways. And even in this church, we need you as you get older to serve in those different ways. Sometimes I wonder if grandparents truly realized the impact that they could have if they would lay down their golf course, their golf clubs, or their fishing poles, and just take the time to spend with their grandkids. I have an amazing opportunity this past spring to spend a lot of time with my granddaughter, Mary Lee. Now, she is very small. But we read, and I would tell her stories from Scripture. And I know that she's not going to remember. But I know because I had the time, because I took the time, there was an opportunity there to plant a seed, to begin to invest, to start a pattern. So, grandparents, focus more on mentoring. Everything's not about retiring. Quitting work doesn't mean I just play. It means that I now have a chance to invest myself in different ways in the kingdom. And to really mentor, to pour into your grandkids. You know, the great thing about being a grandparent is my responsibility will never be to teach Mary Lee. You know, I'm not going to teach her about being potty trained. Now, I will be an ally, an asset. Maybe I reinforce what her mom and dad are teaching her, but that's not my main job. It will not be my main job to take her to whatever she goes to, whether it be piano lessons or ball games or recitals or whatever. I will be an encouragement there. But see, I have plenty of time. I have lots of time to mentor her, to invest in her. I don't deal with the distractions that parents do when it comes to teaching my grandchildren about God. I can remember being a parent and thinking, you know, the preacher talking to me about teaching my children about God, and I'm going, doesn't he understand? I'm just trying to get them fed and washed and into bed without them killing each other. By the time me and Carol, we get the grass cut, we go to work, we go to Little League, we eat, family Bible study, come on, man. And the great thing about being a grandparent is we have time for mentoring. Only if we plan on it. Only if the kingdom of God comes before our personal pleasure, our retirement. So think about this. Focus more on releasing and not controlling. For some grandparents, this is really hard to do. How many of you ever heard this poem? We laugh about it. I've seen the lights of Paris, I've seen the lights of Rome, but the greatest lights I've ever seen are the taillights of my children's car taking my grandkids home. You ever heard that? Now, we joke about wanting to release them back into their parents' control, you know? Take them, give them Mountain Dew and ice cream, and send them home. That's what grandparents do, right? That's not really what we do. And one of the healthy goals in parenting is for your children, listen to what I'm about to say now, for your children to be able to parent their own children. It has been really hard for me to learn to say, that's not the way we did it. You know, it's different nowadays. And releasing and not controlling isn't easy, and it can be tricky to say the least. You know, in Genesis chapter 2, there's a passage, there's a verse of Scripture that we always relate to a marriage, but I think it is so applicable to us as grandparents. Listen to what Genesis 2:24 says. This is why a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, and they become one flesh. Now that verse, that very idea is repeated over and over in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And God is wanting to make certain that we understand and receive it. Genesis tells us that when a marriage happens, a separation happens. That an adult child is now separated from their parents. When I teach premarital counseling, I teach a real order for this. that as husbands and wives, we are to receive our mates based on their value. In other words, that they are children of the Most High God, not on their value as great breadwinners, good cooks, so-and-so. But you receive them, and it's only if you receive them, if they have value based on who they are in Christ, that you will ever leave the most important relationships that you've ever probably had on this earth, and that is with your parents. And unless you receive, you will not leave, and there is never any opportunity for you to cleave or to become one flesh. And for a lot of folks, we really don't want to see, as parents, our grown children leave. And so we become stumbling blocks, if you will, when it comes to grandkids. Now look, there's a new phenomenon in our society, and I'm not talking to there may be folks that are doing this. There's a new phenomenon in our society now where grandparents are raising grandkids. And I am certainly not talking to those folks here when I talk about this, where you are having to raise your grandkids because there's been some terrible thing go on. I'm talking about the big mama and the grumpy that want to have control over all the behavior and tell everybody about what's supposed to happen, and that cannot respect boundaries in families that help your children be the parents that God has called them to be. Dr. Tom Kimmel is a renowned author on families, and he says it like this. He says, if you want to have the title of being a great grandparent, then you've got to be unselfishly deliberate when it comes to how we both view and interact with our grown children. We not only want to continue to be good parents to them, but also allies and assets in their ability to be good parents to our grandchildren. I found it a really good idea, and I just want to speak a little bit from some personal experience here, to be ready with wisdom and advice, but to keep your mouth shut till it's asked for. I mean, that is incredibly hard. As a parent, you see things and you just want to say it. But sometimes saying it's not what your children need. They need for you to wait and for them to ask. And I would also encourage younger parents, be humble enough to ask. That's hard to do sometimes. We didn't have a mirror to look at the kids in the car seat. We didn't have they were just coming out with monitors, you know, voice monitors, and you had to have this cord that went from one thing to the other. And so I don't know about a lot of the things that Holly and Kyle have and Billy and Kaylee have, and I don't, you know, our kids never had some of the toys that kids have today. But we do have some wisdom about raising kids. So be humble enough to ask. But parents, be more releasing and not controlling, and wait to be asked before you share. Now, grandparents, you can lovingly look for openings where you can introduce your grandkids to Christ and to biblical values in life. And sometimes you need to ask your kids permission to do that. That sounds crazy, doesn't it? But I talked to my kid. I talked to Holly. I said, hey, Holly, I'm going to read the Ten Commandments. We have them on the wall in our house. I said, I'm going to read them with Mary Lee every morning. What do you think? She said, fine. Now, what's the value in that? The value in that is by asking, what do I communicate to Holly? That I consider Mary Lee's relationship with God of primary importance. And that I consider her and Kyle as the lead in teaching that. So I encourage them in that role. And see, if I overstep my bounds, if I just do it without asking, if I do it without saying anything, while it may be a good idea, I miss the opportunity to encourage them as leaders, as the spiritual leaders in their own homes. is that I miss the opportunity to express to them the depth of my love, that I don't want Mary Lee just to be happy at my house. I want her to go to heaven and spend eternity with Jesus, because whether she's happy at my house or not is irrelevant if she goes to hell. And that's a hard thought to think about. But if we have those ideas, see, if the eternity of your grandchildren is the priority of your life, then this releasing thing is so much easier than controlling. And I just want to speak to one of what I think is one of the biggest struggles that I see among grandparents and grandchildren. It is when grandparents throw out all logic and choose to spoil their children, grandchildren, with excessive giving and allowing grandchildren to do things that parents would have never allowed them to do. And what seems to be funny and harmless or innocent actually undercuts the authority of parents and can actually work in reverse in your relationship. Paul Miller, in his book, A Guide to Great Grandparenting, warns grandparents by saying, reinforce, don't undermine. Try to be aligned with parents' teaching, even if some of it seems different than yours. You should help, not hinder. You know, we have a great opportunity as grandparents to impact our grandchildren, to be on purpose about what we're doing, to make memories, to plan for it, to give time to it, to release our children to parent them. And so I want to encourage you to be on purpose about this as grandparents. We have, many of you know that I love to garden. And a lot of the ways that I talk to my children about who God is and what God does, it came through us standing in the middle of a garden and watching things grow and asking my kids who makes them grow and where does the rain come from. And it was just my venue for doing that. And so I'm trying to be this godly grandparent, and I want to be on purpose about planning to make memories with these granddaughters, and I realized that maybe they won't have the same heart for gardening that I do, or maybe they won't enjoy it like I do. But I'm planting strawberries. You know why? Because my older granddaughter picked her first strawberry from Papa's plants. And we talked about who made it. She doesn't understand, but we talked about who makes the strawberries grow. And I'm going to plant pumpkins here in just a little bit, because Mary Lee's going to be old enough to walk in October, and Cordelia's going to be old enough to come over, and I'm going to hold both my granddaughter's hands, and we're going to walk out into Papa's pumpkin patch, and we're going to pick pumpkins. But why we're picking pumpkins? What's Papa going to do? He's going to say, who do y'all think made the pumpkins grow? It wasn't Papa. It wasn't Grandma. All we did was put the seeds in the ground. And we make memories. And we begin to plant seeds. And we begin to be encouragers. And we begin to be allies and assets into the spiritual teaching of their parents. And we begin to be something unique and special that's just not about spoiling. It's about loving in the deepest of ways. It's about having time to spend that maybe a parent just struggles to get to. So turn your attention, grandparents, to mentoring and not just retiring, and releasing and not just controlling. And maybe, just maybe, when your grandkids come down the driveway, you know, they won't come down the driveway looking to get something. They'll come down the driveway just hoping to see you, to spend time with you, to share life with you. Because, see, that's what That's where it starts. That's what makes these relationships so important. And finally, I want to focus on leaving a spiritual legacy more than a financial legacy. Proverbs 13:22 says, "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." But it's not just about leaving them money. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 5, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you." Paul talks about the spiritual heritage of Timothy. He talks about these women who were influential in his family tree and the role that they played. Don't become so concerned about your retirement or your portfolio and that what your kids are going to inherit that you don't take the time to leave a spiritual legacy. Invest in your kids. Deuteronomy 4 and 9 says, "Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget these things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them." That's straight talk to us as grandparents. We need to tell our grandkids about the things we've seen of God in our lives. To pass on our knowledge and love of God. Grandparents are seed planters, encouragers, example setters, servants. I was extremely blessed to have a man fill this grandparent role in my life. He was not actually my grandparent, he was an uncle. Y'all have heard me talk about him. He's my Uncle Gene. He spent an incredible amount of time with me. He took me deer hunting, killed my very first deer with my Uncle Gene. And as we stood there, he talked to me about God and about taking a life and how I felt about it and the role that I had. And it was an amazing experience. I can remember that conversation just as clear as the day that we were standing together. And he talked to me about what it meant to be a man of God. And he talked to me about what it meant to love your wife and to cherish her in the way that Christ loves the church. And when he was dying with cancer, his single life plan was to come to Anniston, Alabama and listen to me preach in my first church. And he sat with me in my living room and he talked to me about being a leader in the church. And he poured into me and he encouraged me. I know he had so much to say about one sermon. The sermon he gave to me about the sermon that I gave, and it really wasn't a sermon, but the talk that he shared with me, the time he shared with me, was way better than the sermon that I preached. I wish he took my place. Much of what you see here is the evidence of his investment into my life. And I want you to know that every one of you that sits here in this congregation this morning that is a grandparent or will be a grandparent or even walks in that role in somebody's life, you have the opportunity to mentor a life for Jesus. To encourage them to be an asset, to be an ally, to a parent, to expose them to depths, to spend time with them, to talk about the deep things of Jesus. It is a unique and special time. It is a gift from God Almighty for us to take these latter years of our life and to invest them into the generation that is coming beyond the generation behind us, that there would be hope in Jesus Christ for them. What a powerful opportunity. You know, I look at my grandkids and I go, how in the world? How in the world did God Almighty see me fit to be their grandparent? How could he take this perfect creation and entrust me with a part of their time on this earth to invest into them the knowledge and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ? And when we can grasp that opportunity, when we can hold that time, when we can count precious the relationship that we have with God and pour it into our grandchildren, then our latter years are filled with fruit. We glorify God. The kingdom grows. You know, when you read the history of Israel in the biblical books of Joshua and Samuel and Kings, you see one generation would follow God and the next would not. And then one would and one wouldn't. See, as godly grandparents, we have an opportunity. See, we can set a path. Generation after generation after generation follows God. And there is not one that does and one that doesn't. Our history can look different. For a lot of us, for many of us. See, it's starting a new trend. Because generation after generation after generation, it didn't follow God in my family. But we're going to change that path. We're going to make a commitment to being godly grandparents. We're going to make this relationship as important as it ever was in being a parent. We're going to do things like mentor our grandchildren, allow our parents to be parents, take time to invest in them, leave more than a financial legacy. See, I want to be way more than a pawpaw. I want to be a child of the Most High God that pours that into the lives of the people that God has given me in my relationships, that they might know Jesus. That they might stand before Him and He might say to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And they might come into the kingdom of God and rejoice. So I ask you this morning, if you're a grandparent, are you a godly grandparent? What's your plans? These biblical principles that we've talked about some this morning ought to make us go, "Wow, what am I doing? Where am I going? What's my direction?" If you're not a grandparent, maybe this message makes you go, "Hey, Mom, hey, Dad, we need to have a conversation. This is what we need you to be in our lives." And maybe if you're here this morning and you go, "You know what? I don't know anything about this, Jesus, but our family desperately needs hope. I want you to know that wherever you're at and whatever relationship you're in, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're not, run after Jesus. Run after the one that died for you. Pursue Him with your entire heart that you might live this out in your family." And if you don't know Him this morning, we invite you to come to submit your heart and to know Jesus that your legacy might be different. Let's pray.